Welcome back to Pruikentijd, the Dutch podcast all about drag and drag race. Today you'll hear part one of our interviews we did at DragCon UK 2023, which took place in January in London. Today you'll hear interviews with Blue Hydrangea about why there's never enough drag for her. You'll hear LaPhil on creating new amazing music. You'll hear Crystal on how to deal with Twitter trolls, and the iconic Victoria Scone on her amazing legacy and what representation means to her. We want to give a special shout out to Mr. Jog, our sponsor who made it possible for us to go to DragCon in London. Don't forget to visit them at MrJock.com for all your awesome underwear, cute outfits when you go partying, and maybe even some cute little toys. Thanks so much, Mr. Jock. We hope you enjoy your interviews, and there's much more to come in the next couple of days. So enjoy! Joined now by Blue Hydrangea!
Hey, queen of the mother-talking world!
Yes, how long are we going to keep that reign going? Like another year, two?
Well, Raja O'Hara is the queen of the mother-pucking world, so it's different. My reign still continues.
We are here at DragCon. Now, you are probably someone who can tell us, how long do you prepare for DragCon? When does that start?
It starts about a year before. You need to get your booth. You need to figure out how you're going to dress it. You need to figure out how you're going to dress yourself. And then get some merch and make sure that people want to come and see you. So you need to be nice all year round. It's like Santa coming at Christmas, only if you're a nice drag queen.
And what has it been like? This is day one. Has it been Matt Nows already?
Yeah, I've lost my voice. I've been at my booth all day. People are so lovely. There's lovely kids. Please don't stand outside my hotel. Protesters. There's been so many lovely people that have come to see me. And I'm just so thankful for it. You know what? You think that because we're the UK queens and we might not be as special or feel as special, but I'm feeling the love today for sure.
And I, of course, we worked together on Drag Queen Lip Dubs and on Milkshake and stuff like that before. Did you at that point think that this would be, that it would grow to this for you?
Never. To me, that was like Drag Race. The Milkshake Festival was like Drag Race. I was seeing queens like Cookie Cunty, Madam Madness, and they were blowing my mind with how creative and spectacular they looked. Lady Galore. I just didn't see myself as that, but I think that that is something that I have even learnt since Drag Race, is that never underestimate yourself, because you never know what could happen. I'm thankful for those opportunities like that that brought me to the place I am today.
Yeah, and then you are now queen of the mother-trucking world. What has that been like?
It's been amazing. I've absolutely enjoyed it. Travel the world and just been able to do my art and just be paid lots of money for it. No, I'm just kidding. Just having more fun. I always said whenever if I wanted to come back, I at least wanted to make top three, because they always get the most press and most fun and most fun gigs. But winning is even better than that. So it's been great.
If I think of people that are like Drag Race fans as well, it's you. You visit a lot of shows as well. How are you? Are you still not bored with doing anything else than your own stuff?
I just love drag, full stop. So if it's a local show, if it's a Drag Race show, I will be there. I watch all of the franchises. I've been to Drag Race France live. I've been to Drag Race Spain live. And I just love it. There's never enough drag in the world for Blue Hydrangea.
And you, of course, have a lovely friendship with our very own Janie JK. But what is it like to create those friendships as well?
Oh, Janie is amazing. And actually, when you're on the show, you barely get to spend any time with these queens because you're just in front of the camera, so that's as much as you see. But getting to know Janie off the show, she is just a precious gem that should be held in such high regard, and she does the Netherlands so proud.
And you two have such a chemistry together. We want to see like a show of you two together, like just get up to bad things together.
I would love it. She tells it how it is, and I lie straight to your face. So we're like the perfect combination.
Pangina with that, and then you get...
Yeah. Oh no, Pangina is not allowed within 5 feet of me anymore. Yeah, there's a restraining order.
And I'm wondering, you've also now hosted TV shows. You've expanded into a lot of different things. What are the dreams?
Oh, I would love to do Strictly Come Dancing. That would be camp. I would love to bring out I want to be a businesswoman. I don't want this to just end for me whenever the celebrity status kind of fades. I want something that's going to leave its mark and be able to give me and my partner a stable life for nothing crazy. I don't want to be a millionaire. I just want to have a nice, comfortable, chill, carefree life.
Is that something you worry about? I mean, you love all the franchises, but there's so many queens coming out. Is that on top of mind that you're like, I need to be a little bit relevant, need to cherish this and find new opportunities to, well, make money basically as well?
Yeah, for me it's easy to be relevant because I'm so fun and cool and iconic, but no,
those are facts, not an opinion, thank you.
Yeah, of course it's a fear for every queen on this show, and you see so many of these queens, this is their dream, and to lose that would be so heartbreaking. So yeah, you just want it to last as long as it will, you know? It won't last forever. I mean, we're going to get old, and we're not going to look good in drag. Not as good as RuPaul, anyway. So we're just having fun for now, and I'll try to make some smart decisions. I want to be like a Bianca Del Rio, a Trixie Mattel, an Envy Peru.
And, of course, 150 queens at Drag Queen in one hotel. Tell us what that has been like and what shenanigans are going on, and if we need to talk to any of our Holland queens to give them a little slap on the wrist.
I cannot go to get my Uber Eats without passing 25 drag queens and they all want to have a chat. I'm like, my Uber is at the door, babes. Let me go. If you had to talk to two queens, I would say Mama Queen and Abby OMG have both been hiding around the corner of the hotel. I don't know what they're doing around there, but they come back and it smells a little funky. All right.
And then, what are you doing the Monday after Drag Race? DragCon?
I am shooting something very secret that will come out not very soon, but soon enough.
Are we gonna?
No, it's something Drag Race related, and I'll leave it at that.
So there's no rest?
No rest for the wicked, and I'm the wickedest witch there is.
Blue, we love you so, so much. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll see you very soon.
I love you. Happy gay Christmas.
So I'm now joined by Crystal.
Hello, I'm here.
How are we doing on this Friday?
Oh, you know, just a bit of back pain and sweat.
You must have carved out such a unique career post-Drag Race with your performances, but also doing Call Me Mother and stuff like that.
Oh.
What does that feel like?
It feels good. It feels like I'm getting paid. I don't know. I feel lucky that I'm still getting booked, to be honest with you. I'll take what I can get.
And what is it like to now do DragCon like this with so many fans and so many sisters from around the world?
Yeah, it's really good for my ego.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
To be honest, like, there's nothing like that feeling of walking the pink carpet and the thousands of people screaming. It's so, so exhilarating. And then actually meeting everyone at my booth, it's been really lovely.
Have you screwed up anyone's sons?
Excuse me. There will be no pissing on anyone's sons this year, DragCon.
But what is it like to Beast, no, but you're so vocally outspoken about these rights and these things, uh-huh, about things happening in community. But what is it then like to have all these idiots come for you on Twitter?
It must be
taxing mentally.
The first time it happened, it sucked. And, you know, I'm currently undergoing a lawsuit about it. So I guess I'm maybe not the best person to ask. But to be honest, now it mostly washes over me.
And what are you excited about for you and for your drag this year?
I am excited about season 3 of my podcast, The Things That Made Me Queer, which comes out on Thursday.
And great guests on that, I suppose?
Yeah, we've got John Cameron Mitchell, aka the original Hedwig. We've got Natalie Wynn from ContraPoints. We've got homegrown hero Tia Coffey. Lots of people.
I love that. And then something we've been wondering is basically, you know, major artists have big teams doing a lot of different facets of their artistry. Like some will take care of costuming while others are doing... As a drag artist, you do everything yourself. So while you might be touring, you're still thinking of the next couple of things to come. Mm-hmm. What is that like as a human being?
It's great. I'm a control freak, so it's nice to have complete control over it all. Yeah, sometimes to my detriment, but for the most part, it works out.
Nice. And what do you do on your time off?
Masturbate.
That sounds like a pretty fucking good idea.
That definitely works.
Crystal, thanks so much. We can't wait to see more, and we'll definitely listen to our fellow podcast.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you. Bye.
I am now freshly joined by the newly crowned Raja O'Hara.
You can call me Queen of the World.
How you doing? How does that feel?
It feels amazing, and it also feels correct.
Exactly. How did that feel after that season, which felt so different, I think, from previous seasons that we've seen you on, because it felt more like you were such a cohesive group together.
Canada versus the World was a great experience. We all were absolutely sisters, and Canada really did bring home the sisterhood. And I don't know if that had anything to do with me and my sister Silky, but I feel like we did kind of set the precedent for the season because we are such close sisters that it felt like the room needed to join in and just become sisters.
Does that make it different when you compete in such, like, because you're so comfortable amongst each other, you're a sisterhood, there's not that pressure?
Well, no, it's a competition, so there's always pressure to do well, but it doesn't mean that I have to compete against you. Who I'm competing against in competition is myself, because that's who I'm being judged against, is myself.
How do you deal with that, competing against yourself?
Well, I have to keep topping myself, so it's hard. But, you know, as drag queens, we take tuck, so it's already there. No, I'm joking.
And then, what is this experience like with 150 queens from so many countries?
Oh, my God, this is amazing. This is like the ultimate family reunion where we get to meet everybody from every franchise. We get to find out commonalities, say hey to girls that we've never met before, and also find the sisterhood within that, too.
And have you felt the love here?
Oh, I have absolutely felt the love. DragCon is all about the love.
And I want to show you something because this is a friend of ours, and he's made a couple of...
I love his work. This is you?
No, it's a friend from the Netherlands.
Oh, I was like, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
How does it feel that people make art like this about you all the time?
You know, I'm absolutely tripped out that people even take time. The fans are so creative, and that's what I love about Drag Race fans. They are creative. They have artistic value, and they appreciate art. So it means the world to me that people enjoy my art enough to create their own based on the art that I present.
And speaking of your art, new music, new things, what is coming?
Oh, there are things coming, honey. We can't speak on everything, but please stay tuned. And if you're not already, please tune in to the Raja O'Hara Show on Instagram so you'll know everything that I'm up to.
Yeah, and then my final question would be is you have to constantly, now you're touring, but you also have to prepare your new project and you have to think of new looks and everything. What is that like as a professional drag queen to have to constantly balance all these different facets of being an artist?
Well, that's what it means to be professional. Okay, so when it comes down to it, I'm going to make it work regardless as to how stressed out I may actually be, because drag is what I do. It's what I love, and I've been fortunate enough to make a living out of it now. So I have to continue to be as professional as I can, to show up polished, to make sure that I'm entertaining, make sure that I know my words, make sure that I'm giving the audience something new and something enjoyable to watch. So they keep having me back.
And we would love to have you back. So if you ever have Amsterdam on the itinerary, let us know.
Okay, I'm coming. I love
that. Raja, congratulations on your win and enjoy this magical weekend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Nice. We are now here with LaPhil, who we know because we first saw you on the Open Sea Cruise with Sink the Pink way back in the days.
Oh, I love that. Well, hello, first of all. And yeah, Sink the Pink has been going on for decades now. Yeah. And yeah, I've loved doing all our Sink the Pink gigs. Like, it's been so much fun touring with them, like doing our Mel C thing, doing all we did Jessie Ware this year, like, so many different things. Like, yeah, it's amazing.
What has that been like to be part of something that grew so majorly within the UK? It's something like Sink the Pink.
Well, I think, like, for me as well, like, as a northerner, as a Chinese northerner, to see parties that are celebrating queerness around England and then around Europe and then around the world is so, like, massive. Like, because there was never anywhere for me to go out. So, like, to have these parties was, like, everything, because it wasn't celebrating just one type of, like, the LGBT community. Yeah, it was about everyone, and to be like as happy and as free as you want. So yeah, it was really like a complete pleasure to be a part of it. And like, and being part of it has really sort of led me into Drag Race as well, because it was all about freeing yourself and just like enjoying your creativity. And like, so yeah, here I am.
Such an open environment that you were a part of with your drag. And I loved how the way you displayed all of your looks on the season with all the visuals and everything. How did you come about that? Was it with a friend that you knew that made all those visuals, or did you do it themselves? Or
so with all my looks, when I got the list, I was like, I just saw them all as as opportunities to make sculpture or to make like art. So that I imagined it as like this huge exhibition. So everything would be different enough from each other, but tell a story. So I'll tell like my Asian roots, or tell like my funny side, or like so everything had a comment. So now like when I put it all together, I've worked with all my friends and we're like, let's do this. Let's make music for each look. Yeah. Like, so every week we've got a new song elaborates the story even more. Yeah. And now we finally got the book as well. So we've got a book of all the images together, and it's like a really nice collectible, like even for my mum and dad, like have it. And like, but now to sort of see it as a document in time, because we are essentially new graduates of Drag Race. We've got the 1 year to be like new grads, and then like other seasons come out. So it's nice this time we've got this capsule and a little memento.
And it really feels like, especially for you, to be like a launching pad for more. Was that how you envisioned it when you signed on to do it?
I think because Sing the Pink had been such a big part of my, and because I've been making music and stuff before as well, like I feel like Drag Race was a project to be a part of. And so I sort of saw it as that, and as a way to create more, I think, rather than as a platform, but it was more like to be able to be given the chance to make art, to make music, and to and have someone receive it as well. Because like to put something out in the world, it's so nice to have people like see it and respond to it. And so I saw it like that.
And I've actually heard you have an amazing like concept for your booth. You're doing something with, it's going to turn into a fabric, I believe.
Yeah, so my booth is Le Fill Me Up Booth. You can Le Fill in my walls, you can Le Fill in my face. And, and basically, yeah, I'm just inviting everyone who's come in for the meet and greet to contribute, like to add their mottos or their name or like a little drawing. And the fabric will be turned into a dress, so or into an outfit. And I'll use sort of every part so that it can be a time capsule or a memento from our drag con.
Amazing. And then final question, what is coming up in the coming 3 months for Le Fill? What can the fans expect? What do we need to look out for?
I'm working on new music, but with some amazing people. And but it's gonna take time to sort of get right. So before that, we've got the UK tour. And so that's what I'm working on next. Like thinking about all the different juicy, creative, arty, fashion, music ideas.
Is it hard to like come up with one performance to do? Because you only get one slot in that tour. Like do you have to like, cut it down to what is it going to be?
Life is always a puzzle, right? And you're trying to fit your best jigsaw pieces together, because actually nothing's like from the same box. And so I think like for me, like the performance is just, I think I want to show everything, and I roughly know how I'm going to do it. You'll have to wait and see. I've already started thinking about it.
We are so excited. And you have to come to Milkshake again this year.
Oh,
and I'm stoked.
I would love to. Literally, that was do you know what? At the Milkshake Festival was the first time where like, and that whole tour, Mel gave me like the most beautiful feedback on stage, where because I was playing Posh Spice, and then she turned around, she's like, you are actually like Posh Spice. She was like, because I was like, that's like that.
Thank you
so much. You have to get back to your booths, go and see your fans, and we cannot wait. Thank you so much. So we are now joined by, I can say, icon at this point, Victoria Scone. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We're doing very well. Yeah. Now this must have been the start after what last year was a whirlwind of a year.
Yes, yeah, oh God, yeah. And after such a disappointment of season 3 for me, UK, you know, I feel like I'm getting my flowers, you know, I'm reaping it all in, and I'm having a lovely time. This is mad today, this is crazy. Yeah.
How does it feel? Because you were the first in the franchise.
Yes, I'm still the only one, so where's the others, you know? Exactly. It's very lonely over here, so bring me some more lesbians, please.
Yes, please. What has that felt like to be that trailblazer and to also, from what we were discussing, really open the eyes of a lot of viewers?
I mean, it's an honor, of course. It's still very surreal because, you know, I'm just a little lady from living in Cardiff in Wales, you know, doing my thing, just loving drag. And then all of a sudden you're on the world stage, which is very bizarre. And, you know, I'm not the first cis woman to do drag, you know, there's people that came before me and people that I look up to, but you know, it's an honor to be the first, and hopefully I'm flying the flag well, representing, talking about difficult subjects, talking about drag kings, so we would love to see our Drag Race. So yeah, hopefully I'm doing all right. Am I doing all right? What do you think?
Oh, you're doing, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, did you finally get, you feel like you get the respect fully from the drag, have you fought long and hard for that to get the same respect as maybe the you know, the cis queens and the...
Yeah, like the cis men queens. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I'll... No, I do. I do feel, you know, validated. I don't think I need to feel it either. I think maybe it's just a case of I don't really care anymore. Maybe it's more like I've had an acceptance in myself. People love me that love me, and you know, if you don't, if you still don't, people still don't agree with it, you know, which is fine. I just don't care, you know. Maybe that's the difference. But people, you know, see that drag is not about gender really at all. It's about expression and art and so much more than what's between your legs. You know, when you're watching a show, you don't give a toss what's between someone's legs or a beep. I don't know if I can swear on here. Sorry. Okay. Amazing, fabulous. Yeah, people don't give a crap. Yeah, what's between your legs? It's about the art and entertainment.
And you've actually twisted the franchise on its head by doing that amazing drag king Fabio this season. Where did that start, that creative idea? Because it's not it's also a very out there idea of doing a man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew going into season three that I wanted to do a drag king look, but I never got to do it. So I knew that going back, I had to absolutely categorically do a drag king look. It was really important to me to be able to talk about drag kings and how they deserve a place and a platform like Drag Race, or literally Drag Race. I'd love to see Drag Kings or Drag Race, because we need to keep the franchise fresh as well. And you know, if it was up to me, and my opinion, that would be an amazing way to do it, because drag kings watch the show, lesbians watch the show, and you know, we want to see ourselves represented.
I'm trying to think of a runway on season three where you would have done that. Can you tell which one that could have been?
So it wasn't actually a runway. It was, I don't know if you remember the Butch. It was like a challenge, basically. Yeah, so it was a challenge. But I still would have been in Drag King. But when going back for Canada vs. the World, I knew I wanted to do a runway as a Drag King. So yeah.
And of course, on Canada vs. the World, you proposed. She said yes at the finale. Yeah. What has the preparation been like? Because that... Has it even started? Because that was 2 weeks ago or something.
No, we're not going to get married straight away. You know, we're going to do things like, yeah, I wanted to do a big, you know, a show of love and be fiancés, but her parents have been engaged for 28 years. You know, we don't have to get married straight away. Not that we're going to last, you know, that long. We will eventually. But I want to do, you know, adult things first, like buy a house, buy 10 cats, you know, like lesbians do. And then we'll have a wedding.
What is it like? Like, DragCon is really about fan engagement and meeting the fans. What has it been like? Because you get a lot of stories and a lot of representation and stuff like that. What is that like?
It has been amazing, and I've been like feeding off it. Like, I don't even feel tired. It's been, I don't know how many hours, but I'm just feeding off everyone's energy. It's so amazing. You get to see how much you meet people. Because you hear it and you know, you get lovely messages, but to see people in front of you telling you, it's really so, so lovely and rewarding. Yeah, I feel very humble, but, you know, very happy.
Final question. What are we getting from Victoria Scone this year? What is in the planning? What is in the works?
Well, I'm currently still in a play called Death Drop, traveling the UK. So we've got 3 months left of that, and then you'll just have to stay tuned, see what's next.
Well, we hope to see you in Amsterdam this year as well.
Yes. Yeah, I've been before, but before I was doing drag, so I want to perform drag in Amsterdam.
Well, make sure you get booked. Come and see us. Thank you so much.
I get paid in brownies.
Good. The normal ones or the Dutch ones?
Oh, the Dutch ones, obviously.
We'll make sure that happens. Thank you so much.
Thank you.